We'll continue our consideration of some of the passages concerning the Holy Spirit. And we left off with talking about how the Spirit can help us and how His inspired words can help us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. So we have here that the whole Godhead is there to give us eternal comfort and good hope through His grace, and a comfort to our hearts, and to establish and ground us in every good work and word. So that's the Godhead, in its entirety working for us in that regard. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. So there's a comfort for us that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. And of course, He's talking about death. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Those who are already past and dead shall go before us. We who are living won't precede them. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And you know what we are to do with these words? Therefore, encourage or comfort, the King James says, one another with these words. And this is truth, this is reality, and it helps us to absorb the grief and cover it with the joy of understanding, the peace of knowing the truth. Any comments on those? We'll continue this as we would our class, so if you have a comment, raise your hand or a question. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 1. How does the Holy Spirit, how does this relate concerning Jesus? Isaiah 11, chapter 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was a ancestor of Jesus. He was the father of David. So, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A stump means a tree has been cut off, cut down. And so, from the root of Jesse, the foundation of Jesse, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So there is life that will spring from seemingly lifelessness. And that's kind of true with the house of David. By the time Jesus came, it was a house of no importance any longer. But there is life, and a root shall spring up. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. So this root is the Lord. This little branch springing up from the ancestry of Jesse. So the Spirit shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Well, what does it mean, the Spirit shall rest upon him? And what did this look like as it relates to Jesus? Matthew 3, verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." So this is the Nina spoke this morning, one of the places where all three figures of the Godhead are represented. The Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, if he came up out of the water, obviously he went down into the water. And the Spirit of God descending as a dove and came to rest upon him. And so this was exactly what Isaiah foretold, that the Spirit of God would rest upon this Messiah and bear witness to him. John 1:32. And this is John the Baptist's testimony concerning what he saw of Jesus and the Spirit. And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." Just like Isaiah said, "I saw the Spirit of God rest upon him. I myself did not know him," says John, "but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with water and with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" So that's how it related to Jesus and Isaiah, the 11th chapter and first verse. And some of the attributes of the Spirit, and as it relates to Jesus and as it relates to us as well. It is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, who makes wise the simple and produces sound judgment in those who are filled with the wisdom. It's a Spirit of counsel. It makes one qualified to give advice, to give counsel, to instruct and to guide and give leadership. It's the Spirit of might, and no one revealed it so mightily as did Jesus, who commanded the blind to see and the lame to walk, who stilled even the waters on the Sea of Galilee as the storm was raging and threatening the lives of those in the small boat. Those who could walk to a gravesite and call those who had been dead for 4 days to arise and come forth from the grave. That was the might that Jesus saw. And that's but a small amount of the power and might that he showed of his Spirit. He was mighty in the Spirit. And the Spirit of knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of the will and plans of God, the will and knowledge of the kingdom and how it is to operate and what is to be its mission, and the fear of the Lord, the reverence that one filled with this spirit would have for the laws of God, and the sense of dread that one would have of offending God, and the great desire and zeal to please God, and the spirit of humility and piety before God. These are things involved in the fear of the Lord. And Jesus showed the way in all these things. 1 Corinthians 12:8. These are the things that the Spirit can give. These are things that filled Jesus and filled his apostles and the saints as they were given gifts. When Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. What were the gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. And was Jesus a prophet? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and 18. For the Lord shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Hear, and you should hear him. And that's what God the Father said at the baptism. Here, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So these are the things that the Spirit can do. These are the things that filled our Lord Jesus with. And these are the things, type of things, that Jesus, through the Spirit, gives unto the church. And many of these things were first century gifts. Things that the apostles were given to confirm that they spoke by the power and authority of God. For who can raise the dead except somebody who is given that power and approval by God? And if he can do these works, you can trust his word. And you need to believe him. Who knows the plan for the organization of the church? I don't recall that Jesus spoke a word about that. Do you? But yet, somehow, after they received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit guided them unto all knowledge. What did Jesus have plans for the church? How did Jesus want worship to continue? How were we to organize the work and the doings of the church? The Spirit guided those early apostles and prophets unto that, so that we could indeed worship God in spirit and in truth, with the right attitudes and in the right way. All these are empowered by one Spirit and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as he wills. If anyone lacks wisdom, what should he do? Pray. And God might grant it, right? God will grant it. That's what it says. God will grant it. So these things continue today. And with wisdom, what should we get? understanding. You know? To practice it. 2 Peter 1:21. It's a passage we all know. For no prophecy, no teaching, no spiritual teaching was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So when Peter and the other apostles spoke, they were not speaking of their own understanding or will, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And what they spoke was true, and what they spoke was relevant, and what they spoke was every bit as important as when the Father said, hear what Jesus had to say. Jesus sent the Spirit, and the apostles were to let the Spirit guide them. And I think it's so meaningful that Jesus told them, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit of God will guide you unto all truth. He will reveal to you what I want, what my will is, how the church should be organized and operate, what it means to be faithful, what are the works of righteousness that you are to practice in your Christian life. These things will be revealed unto you. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. And this is just like he who speaks through the Holy Spirit utters the words of Jesus. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. So Jesus is the one whom God sent into the world to reveal the will of God and the good news to men through. And he gave Jesus the Spirit without any measure at all. If we look at how the gifts were later distributed, the apostles had a gift, and I don't know if every apostle could do every gift, but every apostle could pass that gift along to whom the Spirit gave them direction to do so. You know, men like Philip and the eunuch, and when Philip went into Samaria to preach the gospel for the first time, he could perform works of miracles. I don't know what they were, that he could do some. And men believed him. They figured he was a man from God if he could do these things. And so men obeyed the gospel through him. And the sorcerer, Simon, asked if he could buy that gift. Oh, no. When the apostles came, he saw that the apostles could also pass that gift on. Philip couldn't do that. But the apostles could. And that's the gift that Simon wanted to purchase, the gift to pass it on. But that was a power limited to the apostles. The disciples whom received the Spirit through the laying on hands of the apostles could perform one or maybe more gifts, like speak in tongues or heal somebody. Or have great faith, the kind that could move mountains, or could interpret tongues, or could discern between good and bad spirits, spirit of truth or the spirit of deceit, and so on. But once the apostles died, and once every disciple had died who had been given a special gift, a spiritual gift, once they died, the age of spiritual gifts passed. But not the spirit of wisdom and not the spirit of understanding, and not the spirit of faith. These things continued on even with us. Ephesians 1:16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This is Paul to the Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, this continues with Christians. It continues with us through the reading of the Scriptures. They make us wise according to salvation. They make us wise into knowing the will of God. They make us wise and knowledgeable in the worship of God, that we may do it in spirit and in truth. So these are things that the Spirit can continue with us today. I want you to know Colossians 2, verse 1, beginning with verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. So, this is what the Spirit does for us through His Word, that we may be encouraged as we read it, just as we read about what happens to our dead loved ones. Or what may happen to us? I mean, who can tell us the end except those who had the power to create the beginning? And Jesus and God has the power to see the end as well as He did the beginning. He saw the end from the beginning. So we can be encouraged when He tells us about those things. And that we shouldn't have no fear. For everything that happens to us in this life is for our good and can be a great blessing. Even though at the time, just like Job, even though at the time it seemed like something he did not deserve or he could not understand and he could not figure out why it was happening to us. But the end of Job's life was much more than it was in the beginning. And he was one of the richest and blessed men before everything happened to him. But he was better off at the end of all those trials than he was in the beginning. So the Spirit gives us encouragement through the Word. And it knits us together in love. It knits us together, and it tells us how to do that. Be humble towards one another. Esteem one another more than we esteem ourselves. Do not speak evil of one another, but encourage one another and exhort one another to good works. Bear one another's burdens. These are the type of things that knit us together in love. And the Spirit revealed those to us, and we have those very same words with us even today. And it helps us to reach all the riches of the fullness of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Now, I can tell you, I don't know at all and probably never will, but I can tell you after 30, 40 years of continuing in the Word, I know immeasurably more than I did when I began. And it gets richer and deeper and fuller of meaning. And it's more encouraging, it's more hopeful to me. I have blessed assurance that it's mine. Because I'm obedient to it. I read it, I figure out what it means, I pray for wisdom and understanding, and I try to apply it as faithfully as I can in all things. And I have a good conscience today towards God. And we can have that because we know what God wants from us. And it's easy to see if you are in the faith. Isn't that one of the things that we are exhorted to do? Consider yourselves whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves to see if you are eating and drinking worthily of the Lord. Self-examination. And we can be fully assured that we are in the right way and that we do or do not have a good standing in the presence of God. And the mystery is not so mysterious after a few years of study. Paul said near the end of life, my goal is to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Because in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And through the Holy Spirit, we can be grounded in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Paul writes this through the Spirit that no one would be able to deceive us, to delude us, to carry us away with fables and false teaching. We may be fully grounded in the truth of God and know exactly what our standing is. And this really concludes the class part of our lessons. And I want to say this, that part of the work of the Holy Spirit is communication. He inspired prophets and apostles and teachers in the beginning of the church. He inspired writers to write their testimony and their God-breathed plans for the church to give us faith. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing in Him, you might have everlasting faith. And one of the things that we have to believe is how do we begin our walk with Christ? We begin it by just believing. I know a lot of people believe a lot of different things. But I can tell you a lot of things that people believe don't make sense. One of them is evolution, that something could actually pop into being from nothing. In the beginning, there was God, and He created heavens and earth and everything that is in it. And He created us by His own hand, in His own image, and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And men became living souls filled with the breath of the Almighty, as the book of Genesis reveals unto us. And He gave us will to know and will to do free. He gave us a direction. He gave us guidelines on what not to do and put us to the test. And we failed. Every one of us has failed. But He gave us a way of salvation, a way of escape, a way from the condemnation of sin, which is death. And He overcame that. And it's through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus Christ lived a life without sin. There's nothing could be charged against Him of a bad account. He was blameless. He was pure. He was obedient unto death. He loved God. He loved his fellow man. Everything he did was good and right in the sight of God. And God was well pleased with him. And men hated him and put him to death. And because God saw that his son, who was righteous his whole life, did no wrong, was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And that was not an easy way to go. But it was the will of God that one should suffer that all might be saved. So Jesus paid the penalty that all men will pay if their sins are not forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are granted that great blessing, that great privilege, that great gift when we obey the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we unite with him in death when we lay down in this watery grave. And we unite in his resurrection when we rise up with a desire to follow and practice the works of righteousness until Jesus comes or until death takes us out of his service. So if you'd like to know more, if you'd like to obey the gospel by being immersed in water, we can take care of those things as we sing this closing song that Paul has.